This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us every Thursday afternoon in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate the same. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you, Newell.
Rafi, a very unusual happenstance the other day. I don't recall this. I don't ever recall something like this happening, but maybe it has. Mayor Cantrell, in a civil service hearing, takes the fifth. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a sigh. And, you know, I hate to do this to your audience, but, you know, we were just talking about this issue last Thursday, and on Friday, this went down. So we previously discussed the fact that last year, after 34 years, the police department took the steps necessary to promote some people to major. And in doing that, they had to administer tests to people that aspired to be major, and they had to administer tests to people that wanted to be captains because the majors were going to be filled by people that had already attained the rank of captain. So there was a two-part process. There was a written test, and then there was an evaluation of the personnel files of the candidates, and the deputy chiefs of the police department were to rank the candidates based on their annual evaluations, their disciplinary histories, and their job history within the department. So the lists were compiled, and the mayor halted the process. And we know she halted the process because Ann Kirkpatrick, at this civil service hearing last week, acknowledged that the mayor halted the process, alleging bias. And due to that, those allegations of bias, the inspector general began an investigation, and the mayor alleging bias, she alleged it bias on the part of the deputy chiefs. The deputy chiefs that reviewed the personnel jackets and ranked those individuals. So what Ann Kirkpatrick did, and it's another example of her experience and quickly working her way through a problem, she brought in some outside law enforcement subject matter experts that reviewed the same personnel files and applied the same metrics of the candidates, taking a look at their work histories, annual evaluations, and disciplinary records, and ranked the candidates. And the independent outside experts that were brought in to rank that, their rankings matched the rankings of the deputy chiefs. So back in February, the judge in the federal consent decree ordered the city to go forward with the promotions. The promotions were done. But what we didn't know was that the attorney representing the police association had filed a complaint with the Civil Service Commission. And there was a hearing last Friday after we spoke on Thursday. And as you pointed out, the mayor was subpoenaed and appeared at that hearing. And she was sworn into the stand, and questions were posed to her. The only question that she answered was providing her name. Because when the attorney representing the police association asked her questions about what proof did she have of bias, who told her about the bias, she invoked her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And she was represented not by the city council, but by the private criminal defense attorney that she had hired when last we saw him in the temporary restraining order that the mayor filed against Ann Bro, the lady that took pictures of the mayor and her then executive protection member, Officer Jeffrey Bappe, dining on the balcony of Tableau Restaurant. So the mayor went into civil court in that case, seeking a temporary restraining order, alleging that Ann Bro was stalking her. And after a hearing on that, that case was thrown out. But as you just pointed out, I have never seen any public official in a civil service hearing assert their right to against self-incrimination with respect to their Fifth Amendment right. And the fact that it was the mayor of the city of New Orleans is even more astounding, more alarming in all of this. So this is, I think, you know, a black eye for the mayor. The Civil Service Commission doesn't have the ability to sanction the mayor in anything. But this matter is under consideration. Briefs were submitted. The Inspector General's report outlining his investigation that uncovered no proof of bias or cheating on the test. All of that was introduced into evidence. So as I pointed out, the Civil Service Commission can't sanction the mayor. But if the Civil Service Commission comes to the conclusion that the mayor made these allegations without merit, then the Civil Service Commission could order the city to retroactively promote those individuals to the date the mayor paused the promotions. And that would be essentially the Civil Service Commission determining that the mayor wrongfully halted the process without any meaningful or actionable information, and it was done strictly to politically interfere with the promotion process, which is a violation of the consent decree that's in place. Political interference in law enforcement has no place, and this is codified in the consent decree. So this ruling on civil service that may be coming out over the next several weeks could be a confirmation that the mayor once again made some allegations that were totally without merit and to the detriment of the police department, the morale of the officers, and delayed the promotions and cost the city additional funding to bring in these outside experts to basically confirm that the deputy chiefs that had done their, performed their evaluations and rankings had done it properly.
Well, this is why people can't wait for the mayor to be gone, because, you know, her own employees, she sat there and basically said, my collective group of deputy chiefs are biased. Wonderful. Interesting, though, what came out during the course of this civil service hearing, there was always suspicion, conjecture, that the mayor was trying to advocate on the part of Lieutenant Sabrina Richardson. The superintendent, Anna Kirkpatrick, testified that Mayor Cantrell did, in fact, express her concern about bias, really only as it related to one individual, Sabrina. Not anybody that was going to be promoted to major. It was all about this person being promoted back to captain after having been demoted and disciplined for payroll fraud. And the superintendent had to admit on the stand that that was seemed to be the impetus of this whole issue relative to bias. And that was simply as to how would you judge or characterize the conduct of Sabrina Richardson and whether or not she should be rewarded with being brought back to the rank of captain for payroll fraud. And the interesting thing here, Rafi, and I've said this before, same facts for the most part, different individuals, they got fired.
Yep.
And they were referred to the district attorney's office for charges. And this duplicity that exists within the rank and file of the NOPD as it relates to these internal investigations is not a healthy thing. When she gets demoted and now the mayor is advocating on her behalf to try and get her promoted back to a captain. I mean, this is unhealthy. It's a dangerous culture. I hope they rid themselves of it.
Well, so what you just stated is true. And I believe that if there was not an investigation into Sabrina Richardson's conduct that resulted in her initial 120-day suspension, which is the maximum that can be given short of being dismissed or fired, and then her demotion because of that misconduct from the rank of captain to lieutenant, if that investigation had not taken place, I personally believe that Sabrina Richardson would have been the interim superintendent of police and not Michelle Woodfork. And I think that if Sabrina Richardson was the appointed interim superintendent while the national search was going on, I suspect that the mayor would have selected Sabrina Richardson to be the permanent police chief. So I think that the mayor has some type of relationship with Sabrina Richardson where she believes that Sabrina Richardson's conduct, I don't know if the mayor even took into consideration her conduct, because what we've seen repeatedly is this mayor allows her personal feelings to get in the way of her official duties. And I don't know if we'd be in the position that we're in today without Ann Kirkpatrick as the superintendent. And I think that we're fortunate to have someone of her moral background and her knowledge leading the department in the manner that she's doing it now. So in many respects, I think that this is, again, the mayor attempting to maybe resurrect the career of somebody that she considers a friend and an ally within the police department. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the Civil Service Commission rules with respect to this particular issue.
You know, it's interesting that this person, alleged leader, is willing to compromise the principles of the entity, the NOPD, that is clawed back from the bowels of very negative viewpoints, not only within this community, but around the country. successfully in a relatively short period of time, and she's willing to throw all of that away for one individual, Sabrina Richardson? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, so, you know, why does the mayor, if she had information, a bias, why didn't she provide that information in this hearing? What hasn't been talked about is that the Inspector General's office issued a report, and they were asked to step into the police department to investigate this matter because of apparent conflicts of interest between, you know, PIB or Internal Affairs ability to investigate because of the mayor is the considered the appointing authority of the superintendent and is in charge of the police department. So the IG's office stepped in. The IG's office requested to interview the mayor about her allegations of misconduct, and she refused to cooperate with that. So she didn't take the Fifth Amendment, but when she was in the Civil Service Commission, she was on the stand and had to answer questions and answer them truthfully or face the penalties of potential perjury. And instead of testifying, she brought not the city attorney, but her personal criminal defense attorney and invoked her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. That is a bad look for the city of New Orleans, an even worse look for her personally. But as I said, that's not the first time we saw her bring her personal criminal defense attorney into a legal proceeding. The first instance that we had of that was in the Ann Brough failed attempt for her to the mayor to get a temporary restraining order banning Ann Brough from continuing to stalk her. And those allegations had absolutely no merit, as evidenced by the fact that the judge in that case dismissed the mayor's case and ordered the mayor to pay attorney's fees for Ann Brough in this. So
all right,
this
let's
is
get to a break.
Part of a continuing pattern.
Yeah, let's get to a break right now and before we get to the next topic. On the text line, wasn't Richardson assigned to the PIB when she was committing payroll fraud? Yes, she was. Makes it even worse, in my view, but obviously not in the mayor's. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're visiting with Raphael Goyeneche. We'll be right back, folks.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. If you thought that was a cluster, the next topic is one as well. The New Orleans City Council travel ban ordinance, and now we're involved in a lawsuit. On February 27th, the City Council passed an ordinance banning travel on city business until April 20th. This was all as a result of a conversation that was being had as to the funding of an agreement with the school board. That they said they couldn't fund the agreement because they didn't have the money. And Councilman J.P. Morrell asked the CFO if they were in a state of austerity. In other words, they were going to have to take some remedial action in order to deal with this. And one of the remedial actions available to the legislative body is say that they're going to make cuts and they're going to stop spending or reduce spending. And they did so. And then, now I should say, the rest of the story, Rafi.
Right. So you took us up to where we were last Thursday. So the mayor halted the agreed-upon settlement with the school system. Keep in mind that the school system is alleging that the city wrongfully withheld over $130 million in funds that should have been given by the city to the school system. So they entered into an agreement. The city council thought there was an agreement. It was purportedly agreed to by the mayor's chief executive officer, Gilbert Montano. But she halted the payment, saying that the city was on the cusp of a fiscal crisis, and then promptly left town on travel. So the council was left with, wait a minute, this is funds that are necessary for our children. And they were, I think, frustrated by the fact that the mayor left town. So a city that's on the cusp of a fiscal crisis, for the mayor to travel to a non-essential trip to Washington, D.C. to attend a conference kind of flies in the face of what type of priorities does this mayor have, and if there is a crisis, why does she feel entitled to attend a conference? So keep in mind, last time we were together, talked about the fact that over a 18-month period of time, the mayor took no fewer than 20 trips, several of them international trips, literally all over the world, costing the city of New Orleans hundreds of thousands of dollars for that. So the city council imposed that travel ban, not just on the mayor, but all city employees. And I don't know if any city employee has traveled, but the mayor certainly has. So when the mayor got back to town, rather than go to the city council and attempt to reverse the ban, she hired outside counsel. So she couldn't use the city attorney because the city attorney represents both the council, the legislative branch, and the executive branch, her office. So she had to hire private counsel. So she hired three attorneys from a private law firm and Charles Rice. So she's hired four attorneys to go into court and seek a temporary restraining order enjoining the city council's ordinance
banning travel from being enforced. The mayor is essentially claiming that the ordinance usurped the executive branch's authority to perform her duties as mayor. So the judge issued the temporary restraining order enjoining the enforcement of that ban. So now what happens is the case is set for a hearing. And we know from the Ann Breaux case that when that hearing eventually comes, just because she received the initial temporary restraining order doesn't mean that she's going to receive a permanent victory, you know, in reversing the court, the council's ban on travel. So what's happening is now the mayor is going to pay for her counsel, the city is going to pay for, the taxpayers are going to pay for the mayor's attorneys, and the council's attorneys are going to be paid for by the taxpayers. So we have the city suing the city, and really the losers in all of this are the taxpayers that have to fund this because of the mayor's distorted sense of entitlement, thinking that it's more important that she travel than honor the obligations to the education of the children of the city of New Orleans.
So we don't know how much was spent on that thus far, and obviously it's going to be a lot more spent there. She could have simply just vetoed the ordinance and had them have override the veto, right?
Sure. But keep in mind that the ordinance banning her travel was a unanimous verdict.
Unanimous, yeah.
So they only needed I suspect five she probably to... figured she was going to lose that again. So she went right to the next measure, and that's to court. And she just didn't hire one attorney. She hired four attorneys, and now the council has to lawyer up. And, you know, so the mayor basically claims that the city's broke, can't afford to settle the case involving the $130-plus million that were inappropriately withheld from the school system. So she's spending taxpayer dollars to litigate her right to travel on the taxpayers, using taxpayer funds. And I think, you know, that is just another head scratcher and another, you know, gut punch to the gut of the public and thumbing her nose at the public. Again, putting her personal desires, which is travel, an insatiable appetite to travel to wherever. And I suspect that she's litigating this because she has other travel plans. And she has another 298 days on her term of office. And I suspect that, you know, she realizes that travel after her tenure as mayor is going to be out of her own pocket. And she obviously enjoys traveling. So I expect that we'll see her venturing out of town on the taxpayers' nickel several more times before her term in office ends.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, she's probably already got an itemized list of where she's going. So now this brings us to yet another civil matter with the mayor, the Ann Breaux case, where recently the lawyer for Ann Breaux has amended the lawsuit, removing some of the potential defendants from that lawsuit. Tell us about it.
Right. So, you know, we previously have spoken about the fact that Ann Breaux was accused by the mayor of stalking her. And in the civil filings that the mayor filed alleging stalking and seeking a temporary restraining order from Ann Breaux stalking her, the mayor provided in the filings that Ann Breaux had been arrested previously. She had included a photograph of the driver's license of Ann Breaux in her civil personal filings. That's information that can only be provided by law enforcement. The mayor is not law enforcement. This was
a filing by the mayor, not in her capacity as mayor, but in her capacity as LaToya Cantrell. So she brought in her attorney, not the city attorney's office, but her personal attorney, criminal defense attorney, into that case as well. So after those allegations and after that hearing was conducted, the judge threw out the mayor's case and ordered her to pay attorney's fees of Ann Brough. But what happened last week in dismissing those officers, that was done procedurally because the city has been delaying the beginning of the discovery process. Ann Brough's attorney and the city attorney's office, so taxpayers are now paying for the cost of the litigation in which the mayor filed a personal private petition seeking a restraining order. And now because Ann Brough's rights were violated and information from law enforcement was used by the mayor, Ann Brough has sued the mayor in federal court, alleging that her civil rights were violated by the city of New Orleans and the mayor, using her official capacity as mayor to get information that isn't available to the public. So basically what we're seeing here is the attorney made a strategic decision to streamline the case until discovery begins. I still believe that there's every intention of deposing those officers that were previously named, but there's a good likelihood that they were just ordered by superiors to provide information and they didn't know why it was being asked for. So I wouldn't read anything into it with respect to the dismissal of these three officers, because these three officers were identified as people that provided privileged information or had some direct involvement with the police investigation that was requested by the mayor. We saw a email released in which the mayor requested that an officer be deployed to her office as mayor to take a police report about the stalking of Ann Brough. Now, all of this is still in the preliminary stages, even though this lawsuit was filed months ago, because the city's been using every dilatory method they can to delay the discovery process in this. In fact, the mayor's, the city attorney's office, asked that this matter be stayed indefinitely because of the pending criminal investigation of the mayor. And that motion was denied by the court. So I think we'll see in the weeks ahead that we'll start to see discovery and we'll start to learn more about how the mayor came into to possess some of the privileged information that's restricted just to law enforcement. And one of the big takeaways that was significant to me in this with the release of some of the documents in this lawsuit was that the mayor described Officer Jeffrey Vappi as her trusted advisor, who helped her navigate the challenges presented by the NOPD leaders, including Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork and Ann Kirkpatrick. So when you have a member of the executive protection team giving the mayor advice about the police department and the mayor taking that advice, it really creates a problem and shows that, you know, the mayor was allowing her personal relationship with Officer Vappi to bypass and allowing him to bypass his chain of command. And in many respects, the mayor was taking his advice over the advice of her superintendent of police.
No doubt. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back. We're back with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, on the text line, it's so frustrating to hear LaToya just keeps doing injustice to the taxpayers in New Orleans and nothing happens to her. She just keeps going, doing as she pleases. I don't know about you. I'm sure you hear that same line. I hear it all the time. And it's really a shame because I think it's really holding everybody back. The advances of the NOPD, the DA, the sheriff, the whole system.
All right. So, just look at what happened with the Super Bowl. So the mayor is so fixated on travel. And leading up to the Super Bowl, it was obvious that the city was not going to be able to finish all of the projects. So you had someone from the private sector, Michael Heck, that was appointed to lead the effort, and he carried the ball across the goal. People feel good about how New Orleans performed with the Super Bowl, and that carried over into Mardi Gras. But that should have been the role of the mayor of the city of New Orleans. And she is so focused on her personal travel and some of the other missteps that's what I believe is frustrating the public. And unfortunately, Newell, I don't think we're going to see anything different from this mayor. We have 298 days before her term ends, and I suspect that we're going to be talking about this and other frustrating things over the next 298 days that she has left in her tenure.
I thought it was less than that. You've just depressed me. But nonetheless, Rafi, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Raf. We are joined by Trip Rabelais, director of Lafreniere Park. They've got something going on out there this Saturday, March 22nd, 2025, in promoting the celebration of the 200 years of Jefferson Parish. Excuse me, got a little tongue-tied. Trip, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us, as always. We appreciate it.
So tell us about this event.
We're having a park-to-park 10K. So to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the bicentennial of Jefferson Parish, we're having a 10K walk, run, race, whatever you want to say. The bad news is I'm going to win because I'm in the lead vehicle. But we're going from LaSalle Park to Lafreniere Park and in going through beautiful Jefferson
Parish.
You have
Parish the power of the 350 V8 engine, right?
Yep. Already declaring myself the winner, but yeah.
So let's start over because I interrupted you. So it's a race from one park to another. Which parks again?
LaSalle, which is right by the Shrine on Airline, and we come to Lafreniere, where we end up in the Copeland Meadow with the Top Cats on stage to have the Bicentennial Bash.
Absolutely, sounds like a great deal. You can register now. Where?
ParkToPark10K.com.
And park, it's, the, it's, park, the let, park,
the number two. Park 10K.
.com. And,
yes,
and what is the cost?
The cost of it is, I think, $55 right now. You know how they change these things right at the end, Noel.
It's put on by the New Orleans Track Club in Jefferson Parish. The
correct.
Benefits go to Special Olympics, right?
Correct. Special Olympics benefit from it as well as all of Jefferson Parish. One of the things that we're very excited about is that this is going to give people who wouldn't ordinarily do a race of this length in Jefferson Parish the opportunity to see the beauty that we have here. Going down to Airline Park. Noel, you live out in Metairie. You know how beautiful Airline Park is. That's a street that is just overlooked as far as I'm concerned. The oaks are stretched over it. It's just gorgeous. And that's how we're getting from one park to the other. So I'm really excited about showcasing Jefferson Parish, celebrating 200 years, and benefiting the Special Olympics as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The weather, do we know what it looks like?
All the weathermen have been very cooperative. They've tuned up beautiful weather for us, so it should be a lovely morning to either run it or walk it. and come in here and enjoy yourself. And, of course, you know, we're going to have the typical post-party libations and everything else that you have at 10Ks here in New Orleans. So we're really looking forward to it. Hopefully we can try and make this an annual event where we just continue to grow what we do with recreation and everything else in Jefferson Parish.
And the Top Cats, they're as old as me. The only way they could win that race is with the 350 V8 as well.
I will make sure that Mr. Schulte knows that we both agree that that's how he would get to the front of the race. But it's going to be a great time. And, you know, Newell, you know, we've redone the track here. We've put a lot of money and effort into Lafreniere Park. And this should help us showcase that to people who ordinarily wouldn't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful place. Spent a lot of years out there with my kids playing soccer and always enjoyed it each and every time. Well, best of luck on Saturday. Trip Rabelais, director of Lafreniere Park, the New Orleans Track Club and Jefferson Parish present the Bicentennial Park to Park 10K. Goes from LaSalle to Lafreniere Park, and you can go to park2park.com to register. No, park2park10k.com to register. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, we're looking forward. We will be broadcasting live from GNO Inc.'s annual luncheon tomorrow. Over 1,200 business leaders for a celebration of this region's economic accomplishments and future outlook. In fact, GNO Inc. has received a number of awards as it relates to economic development. Very proud of the work they do. Very proud of our relationship with them. Look forward. We'll have great discussions with business leaders about current trends. Things are going on in our area, what we can expect as well. And we'll be on air from 10 to 1 live at the Hyatt Regency Empire Ballroom. It's a sellout. They sold it out again this year, over 1,200 businesses. It's packed, but we'll get a lot of great information to come your way. All right, Scoot will be joining you in just a few moments, so stay tuned for Scoot. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Listen in tomorrow live from the Hyatt Regency, and hope you have a great Thursday evening. Get out there, pick up a piece of garbage today. Take a walk out in this beautiful weather. Do a little exercising. It'll feel good for sure. And we will see you guys again in the morning. Have a great Thursday evening.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.